Welcome to the panel. Longevity in coaching is a rarity. Today's returning guest has over 30 years coaching experience. Today, I'm honored to be joined by legendary college basketball coach, Coach Fran Dunphy. Coach, how you doing?
Good, John. How about you?
Great to speak to you, as always, as always. Yes, welcome back. And how's the semi-retirement going for you?
Yeah, it's semi. It's good stuff. Good stuff. I'm doing stuff for the university and teaching a class, which I've done over the last couple of years here at LaSalle, and did it for many years at Temple, and did it for a number of years at Penn as well. Just and that teaching is in quotation marks because I do it with a fellow professor who does all of the work. I kind of act like I know what I'm talking about and pontificate for a couple of minutes of class, but it's all fun. Love being in the classroom with the students.
Yes, over 30 years of head coaching of coaching. Take us back to 1971 at Army when you were an assistant head coach. Looking back then up till now, do you think your career would play out like this? Did you have a legendary career?
Yeah, you know what? I was an enlisted assistant, is what I was. I wasn't an assistant head coach, but I was the
Okay.
head coach was my high school basketball coach. His name was Dan Dougherty, and he was my high school basketball coach. Then he became an assistant coach at Villanova, and then he got the job at West Point in 1971-72 season upon Bob Knight leaving West Point to go to Indiana. So it was an amazing experience. Being in the Army, and that was my duty for the last 6 months that I was in the Army. It was an awesome thing. Did I think I would ever do this for the next or get the opportunity to be a head coach for 33 years? No, I would have had no idea that that could have happened in that. After I got out of the Army, I didn't think I was going to coach. I'm not sure what I was going to do, but my high school athletic director and football coach at Malvern Prep came to me and said, "Malvern needs a new basketball coach." And my
Right.
response was, "Oh, it's great. I hope they get one." And they said, "No, we want you." I said, "No, I have no interest whatsoever." They said, "Yes, you need some direction." I said, "I like the direction my life is going, right, like I am." But they said that they kept bugging me, and I
Right.
acquiesced, and I said, "Yes, I will do it." And I'm grateful for their persistence. Because they got me coach, and then I moved from the high school level to the college level
Yes.
through my good teammate Lefty Irvin. So I was an assistant at LaSalle for a year, and then I went to American University for 4 years with Gary Williams and Id Tapscott, and then I came back to LaSalle. Actually, I was at American for 5 years, back to LaSalle for another year with Lefty, and then 2 more years with Speedy. And then I
Right.
went to Penn, and the guy at Penn was a guy named Tom Schneider. He left after 1 year, and I was there, and I got the job. Not the first, second, or third choice, but I got the job, and I'll be
Right.
forever grateful.
Yes, how's it for you? You made it look effortless. I'm sure it was a process. How's it for you reinventing yourself year after year as the coaching experience itself evolved, as everything else does, with NIL coming into the later years of your coaching experience?
Yeah, the NIL has certainly changed how I think coaches look at the game, and it's something that I never would have predicted would have happened, but it's here, and I think it's here to stay. And I think at a place like a LaSalle or at a Temple or Penn was a little bit different because there's no scholarships available and those kinds of things, but for a school like LaSalle, where if we have a good player, he probably will be poached after his freshman year. So
Right.
it's really hard to build a program. And I think we're in a mindset now where you're just trying to coach year to year. It's not like you're building programs anymore. You're trying to be the best you can be for that given year, and hopefully, for a lot of these younger guys, they're going to be able to maintain their level of good play so that they can keep their job for the next year. So it's an amazing time. I never would have predicted we would be in this situation. Am I for the student athletes making some money? Absolutely. Would I see it as the best way of looking at it now that we are in a free agency, no salary cap, and not a whole lot of governance? No, I don't know that that's the right path. I think we need some governance. We need some people that were way smarter than me to try to figure this out, and hopefully we can give these kids some great experiences academically, socially, and certainly on the basketball side of things.
You've coached and had an impact on a lot of players over the years. How does it feel you personally learning from those players that you meet every other year or every year? Because every year your roster won't be the same. You have returning players, but more likely you have players that transfer in or players that come onto the team as a walk-on. So how does it feel you learning from those players as they learn from you?
Yeah, I think where I would how I would answer that question is, when you're when I was younger in this, you coach these guys for 4 and sometimes 5 years. So you had a chance to build relationships, and they were going to be your friends forever once they graduated and got out of school and their eligibility was left. Now you're just, in many ways, you're just coaching somebody for a year, and you don't get a chance to build that relationship quite nearly the same. But it's
Right.
just the way it is. And you can complain about it all you want if that's what you choose to do, or you can try to adjust to it. And I think what most coaches now are doing is just adjusting to not a lot of loyalty amongst the teams. And let me make one example if I can. Let's just say, you recruit a kid and he's a pretty good player as a freshman. He transfers out and he goes to another school. He goes to school Y. And then he has another really good year, and then he transfers again to school Z. And then for his fourth year, he transfers to another school because he's made more money, gotten better, but he's made more money at each school. And then that same young man who, let's say, graduate, maybe he doesn't even graduate, but he leaves his eligibility at the age of 22. And then he starts his own family, and he wants to bring them back to where his school was or is. Well, there is no school. I mean, it's you've been 1 year to a particular school, and there's not that same sense of loyalty. And I want to go back to my alma mater, and I did this and did that, and I got these great relationships with teachers and administrators as well as the coaches. But we don't have that anymore. That's not going to be the case. And so I think that that's something missing from the education and the, again, the social piece to all of this. We belonged to something, and in this case, they don't necessarily belong to anybody.
What do you miss? What do you miss most about being on the sidelines right now? And what brought you back year after year?
Yeah, I think building a team, that was as much a challenge as anything, and that's what your job is to build a team and make it to be the best that it can be. So that was probably the biggest thing. I mean, and we're all competitors. We want to be in that competitive world, and we want our team to be the best that we can be. But you also see want to see these kids get an education, have a phenomenal experience, be great teammates, and hang together forever with their brothers in basketball.
Yes, you've made numerous runs into the NCAA tournament. How does it feel as a head coach, as a coach, and with the coaching staff, when you know you have a team that can get to that level, but to keep them paced that one game at a time, without them get ahead of themselves?
Yeah, I think that's all part of our coaching responsibilities is to, once that big game that you just won is over, enjoy it for the rest of the evening, let's say. But then the next day, you got to look forward to a game in 3 more days, and you got to prepare for that. So that the game that you just won and you're all feeling very good about, that's over and done with. Now that's old news. Now you got to get to the new news, which is the next game. And you want to put the best, again, the best product out on the court that you can. You want your guys to play well, and you want them to feel good about their performance. So it's on to the next challenge. And there's a series of challenges throughout every one of our years. And the recruiting process takes up a lot of the time, and trying to get these kids the education that they should want to have themselves is another part that it's, there's a lot of managing going on within the programs. And but luckily you have a lot of help with some great assistant coaches who take a lot off your plate. And then when I think you really get good, as a coach is to give a lot of the responsibility to the student athletes themselves, you know, that make their own decisions, help them along with that process.
Yes, as you just alluded to, coaching staff. You finished the winningest coach in Philadelphia Big Five history. Tell us about the great coaching staffs you've had over the years. You can't probably remember all of them at this point on the spur of the moment, but how's it for you had great coaching staffs along the way?
Yeah, I mean, I can probably, if you press me on it, I would probably be able to name everybody that helped me. Yeah, I mean, again, I would go back to what I just said to you is when you're young and insecure in this world, you say, I have to do everything by myself. And then, of course, the time comes where you can't do everything by yourself and you give ownership to the assistant coaches and they help you immeasurably do your job. And then when you get even better at your job, you give a lot of the responsibility to the players themselves. Like, for example, at the 4 minute timeout late in the game, these guys are coming off the court to the bench expecting you to explain something to help them through the final 4 minutes. And then I think it's important for the coach then to go to his leaders or best players or most experienced guys to say, all right, well, what should we run now? Because as a coach, you don't really care what it is you run. What you care about is how you run it. And but you want their input. You want to give them the ownership because they deserve it at that point. They've built up this level of trust that you have in them, and they have a great deal of trust in you. So ask them what their opinion is. But we don't, when you're young, you don't do that nearly as enough, nearly enough.
Yes, the recruitment process changed over the years. Did you have to change your recruitment, your approach in recruiting over the years also? Was it much adjustment, or you just focused on the same type of players?
I think you're always looking for the best player you can get to come to your school. Is there an adjustment from time to time and from year to year? Yeah, sure there is. Back in the day, you would always go to the families and go into the houses and make your pitch for a kid. Now, so much you don't do that. You do a lot of stuff over Zoom or over email or over phone calls or whatever it happens to be. And it's all about just saying we have an opportunity for you to make a difference at this institution. But it's not quite the same in terms of getting personally involved like you used to. You are personally involved because there's still there those sets of parents, it's still their sons and they want you to take good care of them, but it's just not quite the same. You don't build up that same relationship as you used to do.
Yeah, so you began your career, playing career at LaSalle, and now you're the president, the special assistant to the president of LaSalle. How's it for you starting and essentially ending your career at your alma mater?
Yeah, I mean, I spent a number of time. I went to school here, and then I became an assistant coach here for one tour. Then I left for 5 years. I came back again for my second tour, and then I came back again as a head coach for my third tour of duty after I graduated. So I am immensely grateful to LaSalle for what it has given me over the years. I appreciate the current administration having the confidence in me to say, stick around and let's try to do some good things for the next grouping of students and athletes and coaches that are here and just make LaSalle better each and every day. And that's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to be the best teammates that we can be.
Yes, as we all know, you coached at Penn. How's it for you coaching at the great Palestra?
Yeah, the Palestra was something very, very special to the point of going back when I was a player at LaSalle. And not only the players at LaSalle, but the players at St. Joe's, Temple, Villanova, and Penn, all five of the schools played all of their home games at the Palestra. So it became a very, very special place for all of us in that era. So when I finally got to be the head coach at the University of Pennsylvania and I had the key to the front door, that
Right.
was a pretty impressive thing that I had going. And I loved every second of it. I would be the last person out of the arena on a given game night, and I'd walk through the gym and probably basically stop at half court and just pinch myself and say, "You actually have this job at this adored place, venerable, iconic place, the Palestra." So it was pretty special, and remains so today.
Yeah, special as your career was and still is. Congratulations on your new role. Coach, always a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks again for your time.
John, you got it, my friend. Always good to see you as well.
You too. Thanks for your time.
Take care.
That's it.